We'd like to point out that in the wrong hands, he could be dangerous.
Whenever it's summer, have your fun. Dive in the nearest pool. Never go out in the midday sun. Just play it cool. Clothes will always be worn, of course. That is the golden rule. Lady Godiva on that horsey. Played it cool. Be calm and collected. Look before you leap each day. Never do what's expected. That is, never do it right away. Life is a challenge, so they say. It can be kind of rude. So be prepared in every way. It's not what you say, it's the way that you say it. Not how you play, it's the way that you play it. Play it cool.
How do you do? And welcome to Play It Cool. My name is Ian Carmichael. Not a bad name, really, I suppose. As names go, could be worse. I know a chap whose name was Kissinger. Yes, really, Nosbert Kissinger. Now, he was very unhappy about his name. Well, you couldn't blame him, really, could you? So he changed it. Then he got fed up with that name and he changed it again. In fact, every few months he kept on changing his name. Confused all his friends, of course. In fact, they all used to go around saying, I wonder who's Kissinger now? However, let's meet the rest of the cast. Mr. Hugh Paddock, sometimes known as the Alec Guinness of Regent's Park. He just missed an important role in the film Cleopatra.
I'm not complaining. Liz Taylor was very good.
Mr. Paddock, of course, had a distinguished war record with the American forces and was awarded the Purple Heart.
Which he's just flogged to a teenager.
That was Miss Joan Sims, who has recently returned from a holiday on the island of Capri.
Yes, it was fun listening to the local folk songs, Torna a Sorrento, Arrivederci Roma, and Walter, Walter, lead me to the altar.
And now on with the show. A few weeks ago, we took a look at the difference between real-life situations and the way they're portrayed on the cinema screen. Well, we've been examining another one and now offer the following observations.
Take the detective thriller where there's this inevitable scene.
Simon, they've given us the slip.
Blast. Taxi! Follow that car.
Right, sir.
And step on it.
Simon, we've got to get to the airport before they get the stuff out of the country.
All right, Stevie, we'll make it. Look, here's a gun. You know what to do.
Yes. One thing puzzles me, Simon.
Uh-huh.
How did you know it was Gregory?
Oh, I was onto him pretty quickly. Remember at the casino when the Countess slipped the pearls to Kwai Chin and Brandt had those particles of brick in his fingernails?
Yes.
Well, that Italian chauffeur, you know, the one that was blackmailing Laura Stevens, I found traces of thaliobarbitic in the coffee cup.
No.
Yes. And what's more, the Baron's suitcase had been tampered with.
What? By whom?
Dina.
You mean that piano player at the Golden Cockatoo?
Yes, that's the one. Well, Dina's girl, Totti Barnes, the stripper, had been married to Mark Whitcomb, and when Philip Carter...
Yes, 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 all right, that's enough. And so it goes on. But what about this situation in real life?
Simon, they've given us the slip.
Last. Taxi! Oh, taxi! Oh, taxi!
Right, all right, I can see you.
Follow that car.
Which one?
Well, the red coupe.
Well, the one that just crossed over the traffic light.
Yes, and be quick about it.
Joking and cool. Can't catch that. I mean, this is a bit old, you know. I ain't had a new cab since, so let me see.
Oh, look, never mind that. Get after that car.
Don't you use that tone with me, Governor. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking about going to me lunch.
But look, we've got to get to the airport.
Hold on a minute. Do you say the airport?
Yes.
Oh, I'm afraid that's out of my radius.
Oh, look, good heavens, man. This is a matter of life and death.
Yeah, they all say that. I'm sorry, mate. It's not me what makes the rules.
Well, couldn't you just this once?
Well, of course, if you was to make it worth my while.
Yes, yes, we'll pay anything.
All right, I'll be in.
And hurry, man, hurry. Come on, come on.
That's funny, ain't it? I topped up the battery last night. I just... have a look under that bonnet.
Oh, Simon, we'll never catch them now.
Here's a gun. You know what to do.
Yes.
Here, no, 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 hold on, I'm sorry.
And here, in real life, is Rosemary Squires.
If by chance you are a bashful lover, don't sit around in deep despair. On a moonlit night, just find a pleasant spot and take your sweetheart there. Ooh, what little moonlight can do.
Scrap heap of 1907. Yes, we turn back the pages of our scrapbook, back to the Edwardian era, back to 1907.
How well I remember that year.
Nobody asked you. 1907, a year that had gaiety, charm, elegance, and 12 calendar months.
Yes, they don't make years like that any longer.
1907, the stock exchange is booming, there was a British Empire, and all the gay Edwardian men flocked to the Merry Widow.
How well I remember that year.
What were people wearing in 1907?
Clothes. And in fashionable society, the then young Lady Violent Dodgem Carr had just come out.
1907.
How well I remember that year.
A year of melody when music was delicate, tender, and haunting.
Dude, boons, Augusta. You look a twit, talk about a knit. Size 11 boots and they're never going to fit. You're a top jerk, blame me what I'm like. You should try and fit Carno's army. I'm Henry the Eighth, I am and Ginger, you're balmy. Ginger, you're balmy.
Ah, yes, they don't write songs like that any longer.
Don't they? Haven't you ever heard the Billy Cotton Band Show?
1907, and women were in the news. Violent demonstrations in Whitehall. Votes for women. Yes, it was the age of the suffragettes.
Now then, madam, come away from them railings.
Oh, I can't. I've got me head stuck through them.
1907.
How well I remember that.
Oh, show. Go away. An age of class distinction. For the London season, the gentry rode through the streets and parks of the West End.
Giddy up. Come along, me beauties. Giddy up.
I say, isn't that the beautiful young Lady Mellifont?
Yes, by Jove, so it is. What a lovely carriage and pair she's got.
But there was social injustice. Listen now to Mrs. Edith Tankerton.
I was a young factory girl in those days. We worked 13 hours a day for 6 days, and my wages was 8 shillings a week. My, but we was happy in those days. And we got our fun from the simple pleasures in life. I had 14 children. Good children they were too. Never went near Margate or Clacton. And in them days, a beetle was something you trod on.
1907 and the theatres are booming. At the Shaftesbury, a fashionable throng flocked to see Madge Miller and Henry Grimbold and gasped at the audacity of their new play, The Unbuttoned Glove.
It achieved worldwide fame. The press in New York had this to say.
The Unbuttoned Glove is sensational. Never before has the theatre experienced such a thrill with this play that begins where the others leave off. It will hold you, grip you, move you, enthrall you. Yes, it is a story of lust, hatred, sex, violence, and corruption.
And in London, the Times said,
diverting theatre.
But to the ordinary man in the street, the music hall reigns supreme.
Ah, yes. Who will ever forget the old Rivoli, the greatest music hall of them all?
Now, alas, still open.
But what was happening on the hit parade of 1907?
And the big news this week is that If Those Lips Could Only Speak moves up into number one spot. Jolly Good Luck to the Girl Who Loves a Sailor drops to number two, and in at number three comes The Ratcatcher's Lament. Moving into the charts this week is the latest from that popular tenor, Mortimer Mashford, and here he is now with his hit number.
Little Billy met his Tilly in a shop one day, and this pretty little filly, she made Billy feel gay. But his courage soon deserted him, and he blushed red every time he thought of asking little Tilly to wed. So this lovesick little Billy upped and ran away, and when he was all alone, then you would hear him say, oh, I'll tell Tilly on the telephone. Yes, I'll tell Tilly tonight. Don't anyone tell Tilly till I've telephoned, and I'll tell her in the twilight. I'm such a silly Billy to be shy of little Tilly, 'cause my pretty little Tilly's a delight. So I'll tell Tilly on the telephone. Yes, I'll tell Tilly tonight. I'll tell Tilly on the telephone. Yes, I'll tell Tilly all right. And when I've told my Tilly on the telephone, I can tell if Tilly wants to hold me tight. It won't be willy-nilly when I tell my little Tilly that I really want to have her for my own. So I'll tell Tilly on the telephone. But Tilly's not on the...
A year of achievement.
Oh, come on, be a sport.
All right, then, I will go away with you.
How well I remember that.
In the air, British aviators were taking part in the international balloon race.
I think I'm gaining on them. I'll throw out a sandbag and up we go. Now another sandbag and up and up. Another one, higher, higher. Oh, what a glorious feeling it is, floating along through the air. Ah. Yes, it gives a man something. Don't you agree, Caldecott? Caldecott? Caldecott! It's funny, I could have sworn it was a sandbag.
1908.
1907.
How well I remember that year.
Oh, don't you start. In the world of musical comedy, there were magical names. Unforgettable performers like, and there was, The hit show of the year was undoubtedly Under Your Lamp. And the song you're going to hear now is a fitting tribute to the pomp and pageantry of that year.
British through and through, the lamplighters of old England. Yes, through the streets they tramp. So, ladies galore, throw open wide your door, and they'll come and light your lamp. You can see them every evening with their well-trimmed wicks in hand. Of old England, the lamplighters of our land.
The lamplighters of old England.
Here they come.
Yes, pull the speech.
Give them a cheer.
So
hooray! Look at their poles gleaming. Hooray! And here they come.
See them every evening with their well-trimmed wicks.
Back to 1964 and the Mike Sam Singers.
When you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some doll. When you spot a John waiting out in the rain, chances are he's insane, as only a John can be for a Jane. When you meet a gent paying all kinds of rent for a flat that could flatten the Taj Mahal, call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money that the guy's only doing it for some doll.
When you see a Joe saving half of his dough, you can some doll.
And when he buys wine like he just can't afford, it's a cinch that the guy is winking his eye at some little broad.
When
you meet a mug lately out of the jug, and he's still lifting platinum folderol, call it hell, call it heaven, it's a probable 12 to 7 that the guy's only doing it for some doll.
What's playing at the Roxy? I'll tell you what's playing at the Roxy. A picture about a Minnesota man so in love with a Mississippi girl that he sacrifices everything and moves all the way to Biloxi. That's what's playing at the Roxy.
What's in the Daily News? I'll tell you what's in the Daily News. A story about a guy who bought his wife a small ruby with what otherwise would have been his union.
What's happening all over? I'll tell you what's happening all over. Guys sitting home by a television set who once used to be something of a rover. That's what's happening all over.
Love is a thing that has leaped in, and it looks like it's just claimed another victim. When you see a sport and his cash has run short, make a bet that he's banking it with some doll.
When a guy wears tails with the front gleaming white,
who the heck do you think he's tickling pink on Saturday night, huh?
When a lazy slug takes a good steady jog,
and he smells
that you can get odds wherever. That the guy's only doing it for some dough.
Only doing it for
that some. The guy's only doing it for some dough. Guys and dolls.
Guys and dolls. Guys and dolls.
Guys and dolls. Guys and dolls.
Thank you, the Mike Sam Singers. And now we bring you a daring expose of the fight game. Brutal, savage, stark, sordid, and all the other words that help to sell Sunday newspapers.
Yes, here, set against the vivid background of the square ring, comes this startling autobiography, the story of a gentleman boxer called Pardon My Glove.
My name is Headley Pussyfoot, better known to most of you perhaps as the Brixton Basher. Now, when I was born, my parents never thought I'd turn out to be a boxer. They thought I looked more like a cocker spaniel. As a young man, I became interested in the noble art. But I soon got tired of girls and began going down to old Danny Brogan's gymnasium.
Oh, now, Maxie, keep backing away. Back. That's it. Left hand down a bit. Right hand steady. That's it. Now, swing round. Good. You're getting the idea.
Hey, Danny.
Not now, Punchy.
But, Danny, you've got to do something for me. Look.
All right, here's Hanky. Now, blow.
Danny, here comes that pretty sister of yours. Hello, Miss Brogan.
Hello, Punchy. Danny. Say, Danny, who's that over there, the big chap with all the muscles?
I don't know. He has a plateful every day, greedy guts. Anyway, Blanche, what are you doing down here at the gym?
Oh, just slimming. Got any likely prospects?
Who for, you or me?
Well, you, of course. Oh, Danny, I wish you could find another fighter to manage.
Yeah, Blanche. It's been a long time since Kid Murphy.
Yeah, I saw him the other day. Poor old Kid Murphy. He's really down and out, you know.
He always was. Afraid there ain't much hope with this lot.
Danny, who's that new boy over there?
Headley Pussyfoot.
What on earth are you doing at the wall bars?
Search me. You better ask him.
Yeah, I will. Hello there, Mr. Pussyfoot. I'm Danny's sister, Blanche.
How do you do?
What are you doing?
Oh, just practicing my pliés.
Oh. You seem to be enjoying it.
Oh, yes. Yes, whatever the pleasure, plié is completed.
Well, I must say you look in excellent condition.
Oh, thank you. You're in pretty good shape, too. Would you like to see me lift that 150-pound weight?
Oh, I'd love to.
Oh, righto. Just pass it over, would you?
Here you are.
Thank you. Now, watch. There.
Very clever. How do you manage to hold it above your head like that with one hand?
Oh, it's just a knack.
Tell me, Headley, what makes you want to fight?
Drink, mostly. when I've had one or two, I go stark.
No, I mean, well, you don't strike me as a boxer. You're more the artistic type.
Now, that is true, Miss Brogan. You see, I did so much want to be a great painter, but it just wasn't in me. So I chose boxing as the next best thing. After all, I still hope to be putting people down on canvas.
I admire your courage and your ambition.
Yeah, there is something else I want to do desperately.
What's that?
Put down this 150-pound weight. Stand aside, Miss Brogan.
Oh, your poor foot!
Blanche, oh, good heavens. Edley, what marvellous footwork. Look at him dancing and whipping about. Blanche! This boy's got something.
Yes, I saw a foot. Are you all right?
Oh, yes, I think so. Oh, thank goodness I was wearing thick socks.
Still, I like the way he moves. Edley, now let's see you use your hands.
Here, do you mind?
No, not that. I want to see what sort of a right hand you've got. Punchy, come over here.
Yeah, boss?
Punchy, just stand there a minute. That's it.
Yeah.
All right, Edley. Now let's see you use that right hand in action.
All right.
Edley, that's fabulous.
Oh, thank you. Well, Danny, what do you think?
Yeah, Danny, what do you think?
Where am I? What happened? Here, give me a hand up. All right, Mr. Clever Pussyfoot, now you're going to see Punchy's right hand in action. All right, Punchy, give it all you've got.
Oh, Punchy, you needn't have been so vicious.
Well, I was only doing what I was told.
Where am I? What happened?
Here, Danny, let me help you up.
Oh, well, Danny, you still pack a wallop?
No, you pack a suitcase and get out of my gym. And as for you, you feather-brained featherweight...
Now, Danny, control yourself. You could make something out of this boy.
Yeah, like mincemeat. Where's that 150-pound weight?
Now, please, Danny, give me a break.
That's just what I'm going to do.
Now, hold on, Danny. This is the chance you've been waiting for. Why, with your expert training, this boy can be a future champion.
Well, all right, but he can't go into boxing with a name like Edley Pussyfoot.
How about Kid Pussyfoot?
God, blind O'Reilly.
Yes, yeah, that's a good name.
Just a minute, look, Edley, where do you come from?
Chalfont St. Giles.
I've got it. Brixton Basher.
Good. Then it's all settled. Now, Danny, if you two are going to work together, you better be friends. Go on, shake.
All right. Edley, let's have your right hand.
Oh, Edley, will you never learn? For the next few months, Danny and his protégé went through an extensive training program. Edley stood up to it very well.
Well, that wasn't bad at all. 30 miles and I'm feeling fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, but shouldn't I be in the car?
And so it went on. Workouts, shadow boxing, sparring, punching the bag, and whatever Hedley did, Danny was always there helping.
So, mustard, vinegar, pepper?
Oh, thank you. I'm looking forward to this meal.
Finally, the training was over and Hedley Pussyfoot, Elias the Brixton Basher, was ready for his first fight. Danny chose it carefully so that he'd have a good chance.
I was knocked out in the third round.
But I wasn't discouraged. Just a lucky punch, and as his opponent said...
No, I didn't win easily.
But his next fight was a different story.
Yes, I wore ballet shoes and won on points.
And then come Edley's big chance. A crack at a featherweight title. The arena was packed to capacity, and BBC television was there to cover the fight.
Well, Edley, this is it. 10 million people will be watching you out there.
I know. Is my makeup all right?
Never mind about that. I'll be sure to keep away from his left.
But that's where the cameras are. And also, it's my best side.
Good luck.
Good luck, Edley.
I shall never forget that fight. It was a fight that made boxing history. For the first few rounds, Edley managed to keep out of trouble. And then, in the fifth round, it happened.
Oh, Edley!
Edley, I'm throwing in the towel.
What? Oh, no, don't, Danny.
It's no good. I'm throwing in the towel.
Oh, Danny, why?
Your shorts have fallen down.
That was Play It Cool, another sort of radio show which involved Ian Carmichael, Joan Sims, Hugh Paddock and Gordon Fabe. The cool music was provided by Rosemary Squires and Mike Sam Singers, who were accompanied by the Ken Thorne Orchestra. The script was by Eric Merriman and the show was produced by John Simmons.